what is amazing to me, I mean, first of all, you know, the Philadelphia Orchestra is one of the best in the world, and I think they are probably in the best shape they've ever been. I mean, the quality of the orchestra is just so amazing, and to combine that with sort of the relaxed summer atmosphere is something very special, and I think that brings out the best in performances. But you know what is nice for me personally is that over my visits in Saratoga, but also playing with the Philadelphia Orchestra in Philadelphia and also going with them to Carnegie Hall, I know a lot of these folks now personally, and the personal relationships to the orchestra musicians is something that I value very much, because it's not just, you know, a great anonymous group, but it's an orchestra that is very, very personal to me, I love these friendships, and so it's great to see all these people again.
You just mentioned the relaxed atmosphere of SPAC in the summer season. I wanted to ask you, does the atmosphere of a classical performance and the place where it's performed and the, you know, comfortableness of the audience, do you think that lends itself into a listener connecting more with the music? How much does the setting of the place relate to the audience being able to absorb and enjoy and interpret a piece?
I wouldn't say one is better than the other, but I think there are definitely differences. It would be a shame if there weren't any differences, because as any kind of artist, I think you try to absorb your surroundings and you try to include that in your piece of art, if that is painting or dance or music in our case. So I think the atmosphere that the listener is getting at SPAC is something that of having really an open mind and being worry-free. I sometimes feel with audiences that maybe come directly from the office into the concert hall, it takes them a couple of minutes to really settle into the performance. And I think you don't need that kind of warm-up phase when you're at SPAC. You're already in a very receptive and in a very good place. And I have to make big compliments also to the sound system and to the acoustic there. I mean, there are very few summer places where the sound is so remarkable and is done so well, and so gives such a realistic sound picture for the audience to enjoy.
Let's talk about the piece that you'll be performing next weekend itself. This is Elgar's Cello Concerto, and I wonder if you could tell me a little bit about the piece, how you connect with it. I think people who are familiar, they may think of it as sort of a melancholy piece. But what do you find in the piece, and why do you enjoy performing it?
Well, the piece was written in 1919, so just after the ending of the First World War. So I think it's a very adequate and good timing that we're performing it now, since, you know, everywhere in the media we are remembering the outbreak of the war and what it meant for Europe and subsequently for the whole world. So Elgar really is saying farewell to old Europe in this piece, and so I think melancholy is definitely the right word here. But there are also incredibly joyous moments. I mean, I'm just going to mention the second movement, for example, which is very virtuosic, which is very sparkling. It's like, you know, kind of an elf-like figure that I imagine when I play this piece. So, you know, Elgar was very, very much aware of drama, and you know, good drama needs contrast. I mean, if he only would have written, you know, melancholy melodies for 45 minutes, you would probably either fall asleep or have like a seizure. I mean, it would be terrible. But he is, because he's such a great dramatist, just like Tchaikovsky, just like Wagner, these people knew that you need the contrast in order to really feel the difference and the ups and downs of emotion. And I think Elgar, in his cello concerto, is an absolute master of that.
When you're looking at a piece of music that's 100 years old or older than that, does it sometimes surprise you the way that you're able to connect with a piece, you're able to identify and then perform? Why is this still relevant for something 100 years old?
Well, I think what always surprises me is when you come to these master works like Dvorak, Elgar, Schumann, Haydn. These pieces are based on a set of emotions that are very human and that don't change, you know? I mean, the emotion of melancholy, the emotion of longing, the emotion of being sad that something is over and being anxious of something new that is coming, you know, these are all emotional contents that you get in the Elgar concerto. And so I think in terms of emotions that are being used and that are being that are being modulated through the piece, I think this piece is timeless, you know. And of course it uses a language of music that that is 100 years old, but it's a language that we understand. And it's a language that we understand intuitively. I don't think these pieces age. And also, you know, I've been doing a lot of research with the Elgar concerto, and I came across a recording with Elgar conducting himself with the amazing British cellist Beatrice Harrison. And I mean, of course, it's a very crackly recording, you know, and you really have to listen very closely in order to get the full picture. But it is rather amazing that you know, we can actually connect to Elgar over this period of time and still be touched by his performance, and that speaks of, you know, the timelessness of great art. Which I find remarkable.